Now from Hollywood, Romance. Do you ever envy people who seem to you to have everything? In college, for instance, the fellow who was popular with everyone, wore a Phi Beta Kappa key, and had a beautiful girl in love with him. Did you envy him? That's part of our story. Now, with Gil Stratton as Bill and Eleanor Tannen as Betty, we bring you transcribed Kathleen Height's charming story, A Wonderful Little Guy.
Most of the time, I don't even think about it. You get used to something after you've lived with it most of your life. Besides, I'm 21 now. I'll graduate from college in a few weeks. I'm an honor student with top grades in courses like logic and philosophy. So I know better than to let it bother me. Only sometimes it does. Like now.
Bill, you're being stubborn. Now close that silly book and listen to me.
I might as well close it. It doesn't make any sense with you yammering the way you are.
And that's what sisters are for. To yammer at big brothers when they're just mule stubborn about something.
Older brother, not big brother. Don't forget, you're taller than I am.
How can I forget? That's practically all you talk about.
Look, don't you have something to do because I have? I've got a comprehensive coming up in ethics on Friday,
oh,
and I've got...
Bill, please. Please listen to me.
Okay. I'm listening.
She's a wonderful girl, and I know she'd prefer to ask you herself, but, well, she's convinced you don't like her.
Well, why don't you just leave it that way?
Because it isn't true, and you know it. Why, any fellow in school would practically stand on his ear if Betty Carr wanted a date with him.
Betty Carr wants a date with me?
She wants to invite you to the buffet supper at the house Friday night, and I'm supposed to sound you out on the idea.
Tell her I'm busy.
But... you don't have a date Friday night, do you?
Claire, haven't you got any sense at all?
Well, I'm not as brilliant as you are. Nobody is.
I'm serious. It ought to be fairly obvious why I won't go Friday night.
I know what you're going to say, and it's just stupid, Bill. Just plain stupid.
Okay, it's stupid, but that's the way it is. I think Betty Carr is great. Just great. She's a queen. I don't think I know anyone who's more attractive or nicer or... well, more anything.
But you're shorter than she is.
About 3 inches.
Oh, good heavens, Bill. Betty must know she's taller than you. And, well, if it doesn't matter to her, why should it bother you?
I could spend a lifetime telling you why it bothers me, and you still wouldn't understand. The point is, it does. It bothers me like the very devil.
Bill, honey, I'm sorry.
Tell her to pick on somebody her own size.
I guess I'm awfully dumb. I know. I've always known that you resented being so short and all, but Bill, no one else even thinks about it. Everyone I know, they all say you're a wonderful little guy.
That's the sort of thing that happens. Claire, my kid sister, my folks, my best friends. They don't mean anything by it. Maybe they don't even realize they've said it. But when someone says, wonderful little guy, all I hear is little. Sensitive? I guess I am. But the best way I've found to handle it is to avoid like the plague things like dating Betty Carr. And that's when it gets rough. Yeah.
Hey, Bill, over here.
Huh? Oh, okay.
Come on, I'll move over.
Oh, I didn't see anyone with you.
Hi, Bill.
Hi, Betty.
Sit down.
Well, I can't stay.
Oh, come on. Sit down, boy.
Okay, I'm down.
Here, have some coffee. Betty ordered it for me, but I don't touch the stuff. Come on, it won't stunt your growth.
I don't want anything.
Look, I didn't mean it the way it sounded. It just popped out.
Did you want something, Pete?
Me? Well, no, I'm just the bait that hooked you.
Man, you're not making any sense.
I'm afraid I asked Pete to call you over, Bill.
Oh?
Yeah, can you beat that? The gal brings me in here on expenses. I think I'm going to make some good time on my own, and all she wants to do is talk about you. Move, friend.
Oh, now wait a minute, Pete.
Never mind. Never mind. Actually, this is very smooth operation on my part. Now you get stuck with the checks.
Thanks, Pete.
See you, Betty, Bill.
Right.
He's a good one, isn't he?
Yeah, you're the best.
He says you've known each other all your lives.
Yeah, just about.
Bill, is it that you just don't like me?
No. Golly, no. Where'd you ever get an idea like that?
From you. Do you realize that we've been on the same campus in lots of the same classes for 4 years? And all you ever do is sort of nod in my direction. That's when you look at me at all.
Is that the way it is?
You know it is. This is the first time you've come near where I was, and I had to arrange it.
Well, I'm here.
Is it so terrible?
No. I'll get used to it, I guess.
I hope so.
Did you, want something in particular?
Oh, I don't know. Well, that is, I sort of know how I feel, but I don't know if I can say it. Oh, it's all part of this being the last year in school. I keep feeling like things are slipping by, last things that I'll never get the chance to do again.
Like there isn't going to be enough time left?
Yeah.
I feel that way, too.
But mostly it's people. You, for instance. We've been in school together for 4 years, and I've always wanted to know you, and I don't.
Well, graduate in a month. That's not much time to know someone.
It's better than never knowing them.
I guess it is.
You kids, you want any more coffee?
No, thanks.
Excuse me. I'll pick up these. Cups. Oh, excuse me.
Thanks, Horace.
All right. See you.
You bet.
Claire says you're sort of complicated. Are you?
I don't think so. Oh, you know how kid sisters are.
Oh, she adores you. You know what she told me?
I'd be afraid to guess.
She told me I was wasting my time. That you'd never go anyplace with me, even if I asked you.
She did?
Mm-hmm. I had plans to invite you to the buffet supper at the sorority house last Friday night, but Claire talked me out of it. You see, I'm shameless. I decided that if you hadn't asked me out in the last 4 years, you probably wouldn't in the next 4 weeks. Am I right?
I probably wouldn't.
Well, I've gone this far. I may as well take the plunge. There's a leap year type dance Saturday at the gym. Girl invites boy, calls for him in her car, buys his dinner and pays for the dance. Even sends him a corsage. Will you go with me?
Betty, I'd like to,
now,
only...
don't tell me you've got a date because you're not signed for. I've checked the list in every sorority house on campus.
No, I'm not signed for, only...
I'd like it very much if you'd be my date, Bill.
Yes, ma'am. I'd like it very much, too. I was pretty doggone surprised. All of a sudden, it didn't matter about me being such a runt. This Betty Carr's no fool, you know. I mean, she's a very lovely girl, and she can see just fine. She knew darn well I was a lot shorter than she is, and she didn't care. I walked her back to the sorority house, and I didn't care either. I felt real great about everything. I figured I had this thing licked.
You don't mind walking to the gym?
After that dinner? No.
It was fun, wasn't it?
I just can't get over it. About tonight. I didn't believe it the other day when you asked me. I didn't even believe it tonight at dinner, and I sure as heck don't believe it now.
I don't know who's the most surprised, you or me or Claire.
Can I ask you something?
Just about anything.
Why me? You date a lot of guys. Why did you ask me tonight?
I like you. Or at least I always thought I would if I ever got the chance to know you. I think you're attractive in a lot of ways. The way you look, the way you act. I thought I'd always be sorry if I didn't know you better.
You don't mind if it takes me a while to get used to that, what you just said.
There isn't much time left to get used to anything.
You keep talking about time. What are you going to do after graduation? Dissolve or something?
Well, I'll be going back home for one thing.
home Chicago, isn't it?
Uh-huh. And then the folks have some big idea about a trip abroad for the summer. In the fall, who knows? It isn't like you and Pete. You live here whether school keeps or not.
Yeah, we do.
Maybe that's why I keep thinking about how little time there is. Talking about it.
That's funny. Dean Richardson was talking to me today about some graduate work he thinks I ought to take. Says the University of Chicago is the best place to take it.
Oh, Bill, that'd be wonderful.
I thought it sounded sort of good.
Oh. Hey, you two, hurry up. This is great.
Pete, don't. I guess we'd better catch up with them.
Yeah. What's so great, Pete?
Hey, they got a real gimmick in there.
You want to skip it, Pete?
What do you mean it's no secret?
So what is it?
Oh, it's crazy, Dane. Look, you walk in the door, they grab you and march you up to the wall and say, help me, they measure you.
Measure you? For what?
For how tall you are. Like so much yard goods. The gal's got to pay for us by the inch.
We will return to romance and our story, A Wonderful Little Guy, in just a moment. A glance that can lead to romance. That's one way of looking at the moon. Another, moon bright, clear night for bomber flight. Now, maybe you think radar alone can spot enemy aircraft from any point. You're mistaken if you do. It takes radar plus eyesight. That's why we have a ground observer corps. Help tighten our defense against surprise air attack. Contact your civilian defense office and join the Ground Observer Corps in your area. Now for the second act of Romance.
I didn't get it at first. Claire yanked Pete away so quick it made his head swim. Betty and I started into the gym, and then I saw what Pete was talking about. Every guy was supposed to stand against the wall where they had it all marked off for measuring how tall he was. If you were 6 feet tall, you cost your date $1.44. 2 cents an inch. Everyone was standing around watching, laughing. I got as far as the door.
Hey, look, here comes a real cheapskate.
Come on, Betty, Bill. More than a buck.
Oh, that's stupid ideas. What bunch of clowns thought this stuff? Bill!
Look at the crazy guy run.
Well, at least I think you should call her. She feels just awful about it.
Sis, I don't want to talk about it. Now, I've said that about 6 times.
But you can just act
Claire,
like...
Claire, he doesn't want to talk about it.
Oh, Mother. All right. But I'll tell you what I think. I think it'll be a great day around here when Bill thinks about somebody else but himself. That's what I think.
Someday I'm going to flatten her.
Now, don't talk that way, son. Claire doesn't mean to hurt you.
She doesn't hurt me. She just drives me nuts sometimes.
Well, she's young. And, Bill, she loves you so much that when anything hurts you, it hurts her.
Mother, I am not hurt. Will you please stop using that word?
All right, dear. I think Claire's right about one thing, at least. I think you should call Betty.
I don't want any more advice about what I should do.
That's all the advice I have. I simply think you owe the girl an explanation.
She knows. Good heavens, everybody knows why I ran.
What a cruel thing. What a thoughtless, cruel thing for those girls to do. As if a man's height was the measure of the man. More coffee, Bill?
No, thanks. It might stunt my growth.
Oh, now, Sonny, of course it won't. You must try to forget about it. It's as I told your father, if you can just stop dwelling on how short you are and learn to live
with... I'll see you later, Mom.
You didn't eat much. My goodness, how do you expect to grow if you pick at your food that way?
Is it okay if I take the car?
Your father and I want you to take it, dear. When I told him about your terrible ordeal last night... He said, You just give the car to Napoleon tomorrow. Tell him to drive somewhere and get his mind off of things. Oh, it's funny the way your father's always called you Napoleon. I guess he does it to show you.
I know why he does it, Mom. I'll see you later, huh? All I wanted to do was to get as far away as I could, as fast as I could. I took a lot of back roads to avoid the Sunday drivers and the chance of running into anyone I knew. Running away from the problem? You bet I was. And the more I ran, the more I wondered if I could ever think of Betty again without feeling a little sick inside. It was funny how I didn't see her, even at a distance, all the next week. Hey, Mom, I'm home.
Where's the living room, Bill?
What's the idea? I thought I'd be late for dinner. Oh.
Surprise, son?
Well, yeah,
I imagine it's closer to shock, isn't it, Bill?
I don't know. I just wasn't expecting to see you here, that's all.
Your sister invited Miss Carr for dinner, and we all think it was a wonderful idea.
Yeah, great.
Well, sit down, son. Sit down. Take the load off your feet, I always say.
Come along, Dad. You can give me a hand in the kitchen.
Now, Mother, you know I'm no hand in the kitchen.
Let me help you, Mrs. Carson.
Oh, I wouldn't think of it, dear. Actually, I don't need any help. I just thought that... Well, I'll just run on and get things started. Dad, I do think you...
Now, Mother.
Well, all right.
I haven't seen much of you this week, Bill.
No, I've been pretty busy. I had a couple of papers due this weekend, and, well, you know.
I know.
Well, now, tell me about yourself, young lady. I believe you said your people were Chicago folks. Is that right?
That's right, Mr. Carson.
Mm-hmm. Got any brothers or sisters?
No, sir. They had to settle for me.
Well, don't suppose they mind a bit. Your mother's a big woman?
Dad.
Not especially, just average.
Imagine your father's a big man, then. You're pretty tall for a girl, aren't you?
I'm 5'8", Mr. Carson.
Well, how about that, Napoleon? My golly, it doesn't seem quite fair.
Forget it, will you, Dad?
Oh, then don't get that look of yours, son. A lot of shorties have made the grade. Look at Napoleon, by George. Yes, sir.
I wonder what's keeping Claire.
I guess you think I'm a little outspoken, Miss Carr. Well, sir, I guess I am. But I don't believe in molly coddling. Get things out in the open, I say. Talk them right out. Good for you. Now, the boy here...
I'll be back in a minute.
No. It's my turn to run out this time, Bill.
Here, what's this?
I'm sorry, Mr. Carson. I'm afraid I've got a little headache.
Oh, say now. I'm sorry about that.
Can I get you something?
No, thanks, Bill. I get them once in a while, and... best thing for me to do is just get off by myself a while. I hope you'll excuse me.
Betty, wait!
Oh, no, that's a darn shame. Suppose she'll have to miss dinner?
She had to miss dinner, and so did I. It took me a long time to find her, and after I did, it took her a long time before she said anything.
I'm so ashamed. I don't know what your folks must think of me.
We're just sorry you got a headache. So am I, Betty. I don't blame you, the way my dad was talking.
Oh, your father didn't mean anything. You don't have to apologize for him. I behaved terribly. You know why?
Well, on account of Dad.
No, not on account of your dad, Bill. I think I'm a little disappointed in you.
Oh?
Last Saturday night after you ran out of the gym, I was sick with hurt for you. I thought the gals who were running the dance had a pretty grim, twisted sense of humor, and I told them so.
Well, it's all right. Don't feel sorry for me.
I don't. Now.
Hmm?
After I blew up, I got to thinking about it. It wasn't malicious on their part. Hurting you or anyone was the farthest thing from their minds.
Oh, I know that.
Do you?
Well, sure I do.
Well, I hope so. Maybe then you know this, too. All day Sunday and Monday, I tried to think of something to say or do
to tell you how sorry I was. Then it occurred to me that you should be sorry, too.
Me?
Uh-huh. I even thought perhaps you owed me an apology for running out on me that way.
I never even thought about it. I felt funny. I felt like maybe I ought to say something, but I honestly didn't think about apologizing, Betty.
Well, think about it. And think about this, too, Bill. Just about the last thing I noticed about you was that you were shorter than I am. I know now that one of the reasons I've always admired you so much is the way you handled yourself. Easily, confidently. You weren't cocky like so many short guys are, or withdrawn and insignificant like others. If it bothered you, I must say you covered it up very well.
Until last Saturday, huh?
You can't turn and run all the time, Bill. Makes you feel rotten inside. I know. I did it tonight at your house.
You don't understand, Betty. I've lived with this thing since I was 10. Everybody else kept right on growing, except me. It's no fun being the runt of the crowd.
No. But thinking about it all the time doesn't make you any taller. It's up to you, Bill. You can go on being hurt. You can run. You can make a career of being short if you want to.
She said it, and then she walked away. This time, I didn't follow her. I didn't see her again until graduation night. I had to see her then, Carr and Carson. It figured we'd be lined up together in the procession.
Come on, now line up by twos in alphabetical order. Oh, look, everybody's got a number. Match it up. Stay where you're supposed to. Now, come on, get in line.
I'm 42 on the list. How about you?
43.
You have any plans tonight after graduation?
Nothing special.
There's the dance.
Are you asking me to go with you, Bill?
I guess I owe you a dance.
You might put it that way.
Hey, this is no good here. You're too tall for Bill, Betty. You ought to march in with someone taller than you.
It's up to my friend here.
I'm staying right here, Pete.
Oh? Well, okay, if you think it looks all right.
I think we look great together. Don't you?
Stunning. Just stunning.
Well, it's your diploma. Okay, snap it up now. Come on, everybody get in line.
I've missed you, Bill.
Yeah, I've been busy. Had some growing up to do, you know.
And you're doing fine.
Well, you get to know me better. I'm a wonderful little guy.
Romance is produced and directed by Norman McDonald with editorial supervision by Het Mannheim. You have heard A Wonderful Little Guy, specially written for Romance by Kathleen Height, starring Gil Stratton with Eleanor Tannen. Featured in the cast were Lee Millar, Dolores Pinar, Ann Morrison, June Kenney, and John Daner. This is George Walsh inviting you to hear Romance transcribed next week at this same time. Tomorrow night, CBS Radio offers the intimate details on one of the unlikeliest romances in history, the shipboard saga of the librarian and the traveling salesman. Listen for it on Sunday Playhouse. You'll be hearing it tomorrow night on most of these stations. Remember, the Sunday Playhouse from Hollywood tomorrow night.